Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings and welcome to this, the May 8th, 2024 edition of the Healing Sound Show. I am Jonathan Goldman. I'm with my beloved wife, Andy Goldman. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jonathan. And welcome everyone today. And we are so delighted because we have got a fabulous, fabulous guest today, Dr. Judith Orloff.
Nice. And Andy, why don't you tell us about Dr. Judith Orloff, because she is great and we're so excited to have her.
I would be delighted. Judith Orloff, MD, is a psychiatrist, an empath, and author of the new book, The Genius of Empathy, forward by the Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama.
Yeah, which offers powerful skills to tap into empathy as a daily healing practice in your life and relationships. She also wrote The Empath's Survival Guide and Thriving as an Empath. Dr. Orloff is a New York Times best-selling author and a UCLA clinical faculty member. She synthesizes the pearls of conventional medicine with cutting-edge knowledge of intuition, energy, and spirituality. Dr. Orloff specializes in treating highly sensitive people in her practice. She has been featured on The Today Show, CNN, Oprah Magazine, and the New York Times. And we just could not be more honored. Dr. Orloff, welcome to our Healing Sound Show today.
Greetings, Judith. Hi.
Hi. Hi to both of you. It's great to be here.
It's what a blessing to have you, and what an incredible book you're The Genius of Empathy is. So, we're going to get around to talking about that. But first, for our listeners who don't know about you, we'd like to get a little bit of information about your journey, your background, who you are, and where you came from.
That's a big question.
Yeah, always, always. You know, I was born in a log cabin.
I'm a psychiatrist, and I did my training at UCLA for my residency and USC County Hospital for my medical school, and I've been in private practice, since the 80s, and I've been working with patients constantly throughout these years, and so, you know, it's been a great honor to do that. And just in terms of my background, I was brought up in West LA, and my parents are both physicians. My family has a lineage of 25 physicians, very linear, logical, and rational, lovely people. And I was a little girl who was an empath, and I was somebody who couldn't go into shopping malls or crowded places without picking up the vibration and the energy of what was going on there, all the emotional energy of all those people packed together. So I would leave, and I'd feel, you know, some ache or pain I didn't have before, or low energy, or kind of sick, or more fuzzy than when I went in. And I would tell my mother about it, and she said, "Oh dear, you just need to get a thicker skin." You know, which, I'm so glad we can laugh now. At the time, everyone was deadly serious, you know, about this, you know, and I'm so happy we can laugh now about it. And it's, because it was a different time back then, although parents are still saying that to their children. It's not just then. It was, you know, it's now. They just, if the parents aren't educated, they just don't know where to go with this. That's why the mission in my work is to educate and to tell people about empaths and the temperament of empaths and the personality type of empaths. Because I was one, and I felt like I was shamed for my abilities, and I grew up believing there was something wrong with me, and I was very quiet. I've always been very quiet, a very quiet person. And so I just kind of kept it to myself. And I, in the 60s, I got very involved with drugs to try and run from my abilities, which I write about in Second Sight, my first book. And after a number of disturbing incidences, and I went over a cliff in a car with the man I had just met that evening, and went over 8 times and hanging over the cliff. But we survived and we climbed up the cliff. But at that point, my parents made me go see a psychiatrist. And so luckily I got sent to a really good one who is my mentor and my guide and my angel, Jim, you know, and he helped me see that in order to be whole, I needed to incorporate my empathic abilities, my intuitive abilities with who I was, you know, throughout a lifetime. And he in turn sent me to Dr. Thelma Moss. I was still a teenager then. And Thelma was my mentor, and she said, come and work in the lab with me and as a volunteer and just be around people where this is accepted. You know, and we know about this and we're learning and we're studying about this. And so it was my first chance just to really be me without all this fear associated with these abilities, which, you know, people have. And so what was while I was working in her lab that I had a dream, that night dream, that told me to get an MD, to get the credentials to legitimize intuition and being an empath in medicine. And, you know, this was like many dreams. It didn't make any sense when I woke up. But because I was starting to follow my intuition again, I enrolled in school. I had dropped out of school at that point. I was living in Venice with my boyfriend in Venice Beach. But I enrolled in school not thinking there I would want to do this, you know, in terms of going to medical school. But one class became two, became 14 years of medical training. And, you know, then I graduated, and it was, you know, I've had a series of angels in my life and guides who have come in to help me at various points in time. And I've been very fortunate about that. And right around the time I graduated my residency, a healer named Brew Joy came into my life. And he was a physician, and he gave these workshops out in the high desert in California. And I started going to them and learning, you know, about energy and learning about intuition and learning about dreams. And so, you know, that's kind of how I began.
Go ahead, honey.
Nice. Well, interesting. Talking about Thelma Moss, did you ever do any, this is totally extraneous, any work with Kirlian photography and the relationship between that and empathy?
Well, I did. I had a project with Kirlian photography, but it was more, and the answer is probably yes, but it's not the kind of yes you're expecting. I did a project throughout a year where I followed different plants and their energy fields around the plants according to the season, the moonlight, the sunlight, and I would keep a record of each one. And so I feel that plants give off empathy. I feel that very strongly, and I give off empathy. And so that was one element in the working with the Kirlian photography that I'm sure it affected it. And that's how I experienced it as a researcher. I was just recording. I wasn't too involved with the plants. It's like, you don't want to get too involved with, you know, like if it was a patient, you know? But I tend to get overly involved with plants because I love them so much.
You know? Real quick question. For those who don't know, and thank you, I didn't mean to distract, but how do you define empathy? What is empathy?
Yes. Empathy is the ability to attune to human being, to nature, to, you know, other creatures with your heart. That you feel them. It's like a musical vibration. It's not a mental exercise. It's a feeling what the person is feeling. However, one of the points I talk about in The Genius of Empathy and in my other books is that it's good to be able to do that because you get a connection, this beautiful connection with people in all of life. But what you don't want to do is absorb the energy of other people into your own body or absorb this suffering of the world because you're so taken in by all this darkness and suffering. And you have to learn how not to do that. You know, basically, as seductive as the suffering may be, as empaths love to take stuff on. But in terms of my own health as an empath, I learned long ago that that's just not feasible to do that. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help them. So in the book, I'm presenting different strategies on how you can be an empowered empath, an empowered person with empathy. You don't have to be an empath and not take on the angst of your family, your friends, the world, the news. This is a skill to be honed over a period of time if you embrace your empathy. Because one of the bad raps that empathy gets is that it's not practical because it's exhausting and it's just going to steal all your energy. I saw an article in the New York Times about that. You know, here we want to be empathic and then all we get is compassion fatigue as a result. I'm like, that article is not complete because it doesn't offer strategies about how not to experience compassion fatigue and how to be with people without taking on their stuff. It was a big missing piece in that article. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is about.
And I was just going to say, Judith, your book has got so many helpful techniques to really avert just what you're talking about, because I think those of us who are empaths really are challenged by not taking on all the pain and suffering, and it is exhausting. And so being able to really get some techniques, and I don't know if you might even want to share one right now, that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are a couple I'll share right now. One is if you feel like you're taking on the negative feelings from other people or stress from the news, start to breathe deep breathing. Because if you hold your breath, what that does, it holds that emotion or that feeling in your body. And so you have to use the breath to circulate this energy that may come in when your big heart opens up to somebody. No, it may come in. But to begin to breathe, and a practice I teach over and over again is to observe, don't absorb. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that you take a step back from everything, you know, everything, so that you can effectively tune in with your empathy and not absorb it. And so in the book, I have to educate people about this because this, if the readers, if you, the listeners are identifying with this, brought up by a family that maybe said, the only way to be compassionate is if I take on all your pain all the time. And whoever comes to me, that's my job as a compassionate person to absorb it and try and help you, you know, and that's just not practical. No, that's more of the, martyr syndrome, where you just martyr yourself. So you're so exhausted from giving, but yet you want to be compassionate. And so they keep giving. And so that's a belief system that I, you know, want to flesh out in the book, if you've been raised like that, because it's not true. I could be plenty compassionate without taking on your pain, you know, and so it's a misconception.
As always, a gazillion questions going through my mind. One, which is not any that Andy and I wrote down because we have just a lot, but do you think that people are more empathic now? Have they always been empathic and have suppressed it? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's been interesting since you know, all the wars that have started up in the pandemic, what I've seen is that people who were not that empathic before are suddenly opening up because all their defenses are broken down from this constant onslaught of stress and horror that's happening in the news and in the world. And, you know, people's various reactions to the pandemic, and the loneliness, the epidemic of loneliness and disconnection that's now. So I think more and more people are being forced to open up their sensitivities, maybe not in an all that comfortable way. So I think this book can help them. You need a guide through this period. We typically haven't been taught how to work with empathy as a healing force in our lives. All right. And that's what I wanted to present this book as. If you're attracted to empathy, here are practical strategies. This isn't a theoretical book at all. It's just practical strategies to help you if you want to be an empathic person and live your life that way as part of your spiritual path. There are ways to do it, but there are certain strategies that you have to learn, such as the two I mentioned, and that it's not healthy to become a martyr. And there's a section on martyr syndrome and how to avoid it. Because I don't want to become a martyr. I won't be able to help people if I'm a martyr. I'll just be too tired.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting, Judith, because I think people really do get confused with compassion and empathy. And that was one of the topics that we were hoping to really delve into today, because that, I think, can be enormously, you know, to sort of synthesize those two out so we can separate, you know, compassion and empathy, because they're really on a level very connected. And then on another level, they're not. And I'm wondering if you want to speak to that.
Yeah, there's a section in the book on the difference between compassion and empathy. And it's such a big topic now. It's kind of blowing my mind why it's so relevant to people. But because both are good. And I see people arguing about which are better. So they polarize even this, you know, not everybody. They, you know, there's the camp, compassion is better. You don't want to be empathic. It takes too much out of you. And then others are empathy. And both are good. They're both sisters. They're both, you know, married. They're both together. You know, they're not either or, but a difference that you might want to consider is that empathy allows you to attune to someone. If I attune to you, let's say, and I feel everything or most what's going on inside of you now, and then I'll take it on. You know, I'll feel your heartache. I'll feel your joy, and there won't be any boundaries. All right. But compassion, on the other hand, is defined as you feel for the person. You're not feeling with the person. You feel for the person. But your compassion makes you want to go and help them. So it's more action oriented, where you go out and let's say my neighbor is not eating and I go to the market and bring my neighbor, you know, a bunch of food to eat. You know, that's compassion in action. Now, empathy isn't, I don't know why, associated with action as much. But compassion is being mindful, going and doing something, changing the world, mindfulness meditations. And empathy is the ability to connect. And to me, that's a huge blessing. I mean, that to me is what life is all about, is the ability to connect with humans, with art, with sound, with nature. And empathy allows you to do that.
Mm. Oh, beautiful. I mean, it's so interesting. What was just crossing my mind, or a question, this relates back to something we were talking about before in terms of what was going on these days in terms of people being more, seemingly more empathic. Do you think there's a relationship between, there seems to be a whole lot of, for want of a better term, depression that is manifested throughout. Is there a relationship, do you think, between empathy and people manifesting some sort of depression?
Yes, I think empathy, when it's not managed properly, can lead to depression. Mm-hmm. Empathy needs to be managed properly. That's why I wrote the book, is to say, here, this is it. This is a healing energy, and it's wild, and it's intense. and here's how to work with it. It's not just a simple little thing. I mean, but it brings great rewards, and that's it's the way of being. And I'd like to just add this right now, because the neuroscience of empathy is really important. It's so amazing if you read about it. And there's something called the Mother Teresa effect. Yeah, great name. But what this is that if you witness somebody practice an act of empathy, if they do something nice for somebody and you're witnessing it and you're smiling and thinking, oh, that's nice. If I were to draw your blood, then your immunity will have gone up. Your epinephrine and cortisol will have gone down. Your vagus nerve will have been stimulated so that the calming influence on your body. This is all from witnessing one act on the street. So these, you know, scientists are so brilliant. They went and drew the blood right after the witnessing happened. And so if you look at just that effect on your bodies, you know, the empathy, watching empathy, as opposed to actually being the empathic person, I want people to be aware of what happens to their heart when they show empathy to somebody. It's not,
Can we continue this in a moment? We're going to go to commercial break, but we are with Dr. Judith Olof, who's got a brilliant book called The Genius of Empathy. We'll be talking about this, and if you want to get in touch with her, go to drjudithorloff.com. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. We have so much more to share, and I can't wait to get more into your book, Judith, The Genius of Empathy. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio, on the web.
And we are back with Dr. Judith Olof. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I am Andy Goldman. And we are going to delve more deeply into Judith's new book, The Genius of Empathy. And Judith, one of the things, you know, you've got so many great techniques in here to help people to develop their empathy, or if they are an empath, how they can you know, kind of keep from getting overloaded with other people's pain. And one of the things when I was reading your book, you know, it's for people who are therapists. You know, when I was in school becoming a therapist, I went, man, I would have loved to have had this book. So it has got just great information. And so we were talking about the difference in compassion and empathy. And there's just so many challenges with the human spirit. And I'm wondering if we could delve more deeply into that.
Let me just jump for a second, because you were mentioning the Mother Teresa syndrome effect or whatnot, which I loved as an idea. And if you like, I think it's one of the great hidden secrets of our time is that when you display kindness, compassion, or empathy to another person, you unto itself will receive the benefits. And even as you're saying, somebody observing that is going to also receive this. What a blessing.
Yeah, it's a double blessing. It's a double whammy. And then in the book, in the third part, I also talked about how to do that, where you could send out empathy towards war-torn regions in the world or where suffering is. So you can actually, it travels. Let's put it that way. It travels.
Yes.
And you can feel it, but I want to make a point that I make in the book, and this is really important for people to get. There's the mind and there's the heart. The mind will come up with all kinds of ideas about why empathy isn't a good thing. Why should I have empathy for somebody I don't like? Why should I have empathy for someone I don't agree with? Why should I have empathy for someone who hurt me in my childhood? And what does that mean? You know, so... You know, it's very important that, you know that the mind is not particularly your friend when it comes to this. But if you shift into your heart, why do you want to have empathy for someone you don't like? The heart likes that. The heart wants to know that. The heart wants to know how to do that. So it's the heart that you ask. And so when you get into empathy, you have to, the mind will chitter chatter and say, it's too exhausting. Forget it. No, whatever it says. No, but you don't listen to that, you know, because your mind, I'm telling you, will keep you up at 3 a.m. and torment you. If you don't shift into your heart, it just does that. That's what, you know, it doesn't mean to hurt you. It just, you know, has all kinds of negative ideas about things and about empathy. It doesn't quite get it. The mind doesn't quite get it. The heart totally gets it. So, about shifting from your mind, and the way you shift into your heart is to put your hand on your heart or two hands on your heart. I live with my hands on my heart, you know, throughout the day. They just go back, you know, because it just feels so good. And you want to be able to ground yourself as an empath and as an empathic person and come back. There's an energy in your heart. Just as there's an energy in your mind, there's an energy in your heart. And this is what will help you to understand and express and benefit from empathy. And so I like you to remember to shift, if you can, out of what the mind thinks. You're too tired for empathy, you know, or that person doesn't deserve empathy, or you don't deserve empathy. That's what you'll tell yourself. You don't deserve it. You're a good for nothing, you know, who should have done better than you did, you know, whatever it says, you know. But you have to know the difference. And so you have to be quite aware that there are two separate parts when it comes to empathy. And you want to go to your heart to ask about these questions.
You know, Judith, when you mentioned, you know, you spend most of your day with your hands on your heart. And when you said that, I put my hands on my heart and I immediately went right to my heart. So that's a pretty powerful technique that is very quick action, quick acting.
It's quick acting. It's my go-to technique. You know, I go, you know, throughout the day, you know, up, down, things happen, hand on the heart, you know, or hand on the, sometimes I put it on the heart and the solar plexus, depending on my emotional state, because the solar plexus is the center for emotions. And so I need to calm it down. And so, you know, that use of your hands to help you to find your most centered loving place is useful. And it's like energy healing, but towards yourself. And it's a way of calming yourself down. Let's say you've had an interaction with somebody at work. And there's a section on how to have empathy for people at work who are difficult people. Now, let's say you have something happen at work. Instead of attacking the person or saying, how could you say that to me? You're so inconsiderate, or just going away feeling bad. You know, you have to say to yourself, okay, this is the challenge. This is life teaching me how to find empathy and communicate with this person. You know, this isn't just torture. And so you want to come into your heart and tune in and say, all right, what could I have empathy with in this person? Let's say it's a chronic talker who's driving you crazy and it's talking, and you don't know how to interrupt. Part of the skills, an empathic skill, is learning how to interrupt with empathy. You know, it's like saying, it's not being mean when you interrupt. It's not being snitty or short with them. It's, you know, I'm really sorry I have to interrupt you now, but I've got to go. You know, thanks for your sharing. Thank you, but I'm leaving. And you just ease your way out. You know, ease your way out and with a very few words. But what people sometimes do is that they're afraid of the chronic talker, or they're afraid of the behavior, and they start making up lies to get out of it. And it's kind of a bad habit to get into. You want to be more authentic with yourself and, you know, and say, just simply, I have to go. I sometimes say, you know, I have to go to the bathroom, you know, and because I always have to go to the bathroom. It's not a lie. It's my refuge. It has been all these years. If something is off, like at an airport and I'm feeling jumbled, I'll go in the bathroom and meditate. But the bathroom isn't for everyone, because somebody called me on that. He goes, well, I'm making up a lie if I say I have to go to the bathroom. Thank you for bringing that up. And just say whatever is authentic for you. And I say that to everybody.
So I want to, Judith, this is wonderful. I just want to let people know how they can get your book. Because we're talking about your book, we're talking about empathy. How do we get your book?
What's the best way, Judith, that you can let people know to get this great book?
Well, the best way is to go on my website, which is drjudithorloff.com. And there's a special offer where if you click on it, you can, you know, buy the book wherever your favorite bookseller is, and then come back and get a bunch of free goodies, like a free empathy ebook and free empathy webinars that I've created. So if you're interested in all those goodies, you can get those on my website, wherever you buy the book. It doesn't matter. You just put in the receipt number. And I think that's the best place. But it's on Amazon. It's on your favorite booksellers, you know, on the ground, a lot of independent bookstores. I've been speaking at, you know, have them, Banyan Books if you're in Vancouver. There are all kinds of books. I'm going to bookstores that have it now. The book just came out a couple weeks ago. So that's the best way to get it. And go slowly when you read it. You know, empathy is something you go more slowly with. It's not something that you speed up around. And so it's a big difference. It's not like the crazy world where you're going faster and faster. Empathy is more like you're going slower and slower.
We're talking to Dr. Judith Orloff, the author of The Genius of Empathy. I'm Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman.
And we're going to take a commercial break and be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have 7 chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration to put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, it is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness. You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of connecting with the energy of the earth? Would you like to be able to tune your mind and your body to this extraordinary healing frequency? Try the Gaia Frequency Tuning Forks, available at HealingSounds.com and at Amazon. Exclusively designed by me, Jonathan Goldman, these tuning forks might just change your life.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And we are back with the May 8th, 2024 edition of the Healing Sound Show. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman. And we are here with our esteemed guest, Dr. Judith Orloff, whose new book, The Genius of Empathy, is now available and out. And we've got so much more to talk about. And over our break, we were just talking about how to deal with people that you may not agree with. How can you have empathy for those people that maybe are getting on your nerves or you don't like? Judith, can you share some important ways that we can deal with that?
Yeah, so I think one good line to have, I believe that there are scripts that are important to have that will apply to a bunch of people, but you've got to find your script that's the most comfortable for you. But if somebody is talking about some belief they have, and it's not your belief, and in fact, maybe it's making you mad, or you're having some kind of reaction to it, I think the best way to handle it is to take a breath, center yourself, do not be triggered, do not get into discussions about these beliefs that won't help to talk about. But you can say to them, you know, I hear what you're saying and I'm going to take it under consideration. Thank you. And the reason that that's important and the reason that's all you say is that you're giving the person a gift. You're saying, I heard you. And this is a very different pattern than looking upset or, you know, or looking judgmental. And the point is not their beliefs. You're not going to change their beliefs, but you can change the energetic patterning around the interaction. And that makes a difference because if you start doing that, you know, they suddenly feel heard, you know, and what people want in terms of empathy is they want to feel seen. They want to feel heard. They want to feel valued. And this is for people even that you don't agree with. And when you give them one of those elements, there's a chance that they soften and look at things a little bit differently. And not their beliefs changing, but they might say, well, it's been nice talking to you. You know, suddenly getting out of this hostile mode to, well, it's been nice talking to you. So they shifted out of their stick, you know, whatever they do, and they feel it on a different level. I had an experience where I was giving grand rounds at this medical school, and one of the head guys, the head doctors, was really you know, hostile toward me. This, I was talking about intuition, and I heard he had really, you know, incendiary beliefs. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, there he is, and he's sitting in the front row. And I'm thinking, oh, you know. But I just did what I did, and I'm very heart-centered when I give talks. And I don't get into fights with people because I'm not interested in it. And at the end, he was the first one to come up to me. And he didn't mention anything about this topic of my talk. He says, I am just so impressed with the kindness you're looking at the group with. So you see, you see what I mean? Like, it's not always what you think it is. It's the energy that you give off can have more of an effect than the actual topic.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, actually, that people will oftentimes remember how they feel rather than what you say.
Right, yeah.
And but getting back to what you say and what you don't say and how you hear it, can you tell us a little bit about empathic listening skills? Because, you know, these days, as we're so divided on this planet, and it so concerns me, and we don't listen to each other.
That's right.
Couldn't help.
Well, that's why I called this chapter in the book The High Art of Empathic Listening, because I think it's a sacred art that we have lost, you know, with all the speed that's come into our world, you know, as opposed to, you know, in the 50s or the 40s, things are, you know, things are slower then. Nice, slower, you know, but now everything's going so fast. Anyways, to be an empath who's integrated and happy and whole, it's important to be able to listen and to be listened to. And empathic listening is the skill of sitting with somebody with a defined time limit and a defined subject matter, with rules where there's no dumping or anger or shaming or blaming or anything like that going on. It's just about one person listening to another. A problem people have is they bring up too many subjects at once when they're intuitively listening to someone. And so you just, it's best to pick one topic with the person and then you listen. You listen from a very centered place with compassion in your eyes, with your tone of voice being even and nice and not like this intrusive, not looking overzealous empaths often look so deeply into people's eyes as an intrusion. So you want to be careful not to do that because people don't like that. You know, they feel intruded upon and they don't know what to say. So just for you to know, just keep it back a little bit and listen. And you listen to this person talking and you're not checking your phone. You're not thinking about other things. You're 100% present with each other for that time period. And just in the listening process, you might say things like, yeah, I know what you mean, or smile, or give some kind of positive support. But what you don't want to do, and this is what irritates people the most, is bring in your own personal experiences. You don't want to say, oh my God, I know what you mean, and it happened to me so much worse than that. And then you round and round about, it's about you all of a sudden. So watch that. As I know people have said to me, but I'm just trying to be relatable. I'm just, you know, so it's a good intention. It's just not the right action. So I strongly suggest not doing that when you're listening to somebody.
That was something that took me a really long time to learn myself. I always thought that it was helping the other person by saying, but I think they thought I was trying to outdo them in their pain.
Right. That's what happened. It's common, but it's also to relate. It's not coming from a bad place in people, but it's counterproductive because then it just sabotages the path, the healing path the person is on, and it just goes to you. And it's not about you here. It's about them. And so just to remember that, everybody who's listening. And you could practice. You could practice with your friends. before you actually go to the person and choose somebody easy at first to talk to and have this empathic holding space session. Don't go to your mother right away. That's what people do. They go right to their mothers, and that's a formula for failure. Yes, the mothers are the hardest. Yeah, they're really hard. So you want to start with the easier ones and build up your confidence before you decide or not decide to go to the mother.
Oh,
great. So we excellent. Have to go to commercial right now. And fabulous conversation with Dr. Judith Orloff. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman. And we will be right back. Stay with us. We've got lots more to cover.
Okay.
Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Hello, this is Jonathan Goldman. I'd like to bring you a few moments of relaxation by offering you this opportunity to listen to some of my music. This is an excerpt of Quiet Space from Celestial Reiki. If you can, just close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as you listen to this music. If you'd like to hear more of my music, please go to Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, YouTube, or anywhere else you stream music. Thank you.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back. I'm Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman, and we are here with Dr. Judith Orloff. And her new book, The Genius of Empathy, is available at wherever you buy your really good books. But you can go to her website, which is Dr. Judith Orloff, DrJudithOrloff, Dr. Judith Orloff. .com, and you can get her book there, plus a whole lot of
it's a great
other
book that
things.
Everybody should have. It's so important. And Judith, on a level, can you tell us a little about self-empathy, having empathy for yourself?
Yes. There's a chapter in the book on self-empathy, and you might think it's easier than it actually is. As I know I've spoken with my therapist friends over the years and healing friends, saying it's so much easier to have empathy for our patients than it is to have empathy for ourselves. And that's just human nature. But don't be too dissuaded by that, because you must learn how to bring self-empathy to yourself. It's part of the formula that I present in the book. First, you start with yourself, then you experiment with your family and you apply empathy to your family, and then you expand to the greater world if you feel like you're ready for that. But it starts with you connecting to yourself and your body and not just staying in your head. And it's about having compassion for everything you've been through. Let's say you've had a hard day. You can say, oh, this day was terrible. I'm beat. I just want to go to bed. But you did the best you possibly could under those circumstances. And that's enough. And so now do something nice for yourself. Go take a bath. Go meditate. Go watch a movie, whatever you want to do. So that's more of the empathic response as opposed to, oh, you really blew it today. They're never going to want you back there. You know, it's the, you did so bad. You couldn't keep it together. You weren't centered. What was wrong with you? So that's the non-empathic way, which is always not true. By the way, that's not the voice of truth. The truth is, you know, what you did well and the effort you made in a difficult situation. So that's truth. You know, that's a truth that I want you to know. And if you've had an abusive upbringing or you've had negative parental voices instilling these false beliefs within you, then part of your path on empathy is to begin to heal that and to realize in your deepest self or with the help of a coach or therapist or somebody, that's just not true. You're living in a delusional world if you think that those voices are true. And it's not true. What is true? That you're a wonderful person and you're doing the best you can. And you're going to be developing more and more self-empathy so it gets stronger. So you can get more of a strength and a grounded quality from it and get in the practice of the changing the inner dialogue. And also sending yourself heart energy is a form of self-empathy. If you're feeling off-center, if you're feeling like your mind's going a mile a minute, come back to the heart technique where you put two hands over the heart. You take a deep breath. You focus on something beautiful like rushing water or the full moonlight or the stars or your little doggy, whatever that begins to shift the energy in your heart to a more compassionate and a blissful and calm place. So you don't forget to use your hands in your empathy practice. Don't forget to, you know, use your own healing tools. And also with your work, you know, to bring in the healing power of sound to create more of a resonance within us to find self-empathy. I don't know if you have any pieces on self-empathy, but it would be really a wonderful thing to have.
It's something we talk about a fair amount because, you know, empathy begins at home, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, and it does begin at home. It does begin with ourselves. And I do agree, Judith. I think it's one of the hardest things that, you know, to love ourselves is, you know, I think the reason that we're all here is to love ourselves. And then we have so much more to give to other people. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I just wanted to say, you know, sometimes when it gets really intense, you know, I've had to deal with the various intense things over my fears over a relative's health. And when I have those fearful voices come in my head, I have trained myself to say, unacceptable, cannot go, do not go there. Just do not go. It's not helpful to feed those voices. It's more helpful to stay in the most loving, positive framework. I want to hold energy for the healing. Because otherwise, if you're stuck in all the fear of loss and everything, it's a deep, it's a deep process. And so you don't want to go to a lack of self-empathy. You want to have as much self-empathy as you can to keep your mind on the straight and narrow, because the mind goes to fear, and then you're going off the deep end. But if you can bring it back and say, nope, this is not an acceptable direction for me. It's not healthy for me. And so you learn to veer and get out of it, you know, rather than get taken down by it. So that's another form of real life self-empathy that can come up. Let's say if your loved one is going through physical, emotional, or any kind of challenge. You know, this is for you to keep your mind straight.
Nice. Thank you. We have about a minute left in this portion of the show. And is there anything else, Dr. Judith Orloff, that in the last moments of the show that you're speaking to us, you would like to share? It's probably a gazillion things, but.
I just think of your audience, where they're at now, and that it's never too late to start this path. You know, it's never too late. You know, even if you feel lost, even if you feel like you've tried and you failed in the path, you know, this is the kind of thing you start over again, and it's the beginner's mind. I do this. It's part of my spiritual practice is empathy, because this is who I want to be. You know, as much as I can. I can't do it all the time because I need to replenish, but this is who I want to be. So I've kind of made a decision. This is my path, part of my path and intuition. And, but for you, you know, perhaps we've lifted you up to a new place where maybe you're considering this too after a bunch of disappointments. You know, maybe you've given up. I don't know, but my point is, and the great hope is that you can start over again each day with a beginner's mind. Each day, this isn't something you just have to keep improving with. You can really go downhill for a while and then come back up again. It's just the nature of change. You know, it's never just unidirectional. It's all kinds of movements that you flow with. So just be hopeful, you know, and try not to obsess on the foibles of the world too much. You know, focus on what can be done more than looking in the dark eyes of the beast and getting lost.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Judith Orloff. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. We recommend The Genius of Empathy to everybody. It's so important.
Oh, it's a great handbook to have at your fingertips. And Judith, it has been a joy to have you on the show today. And thank you for your wisdom. And thank you for all that you shared. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
You know, so thank you for bringing and enhancing empathy on our planet. And we'll be right back, folks, to tell you who's coming up next month. Stay tuned.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
And that was a great show, Andy. Ah, it was
great. Fabulous.
What a blessing, Dr. Judith Orloff. And her book, fabulous. Next month, we have herbalist Brigitte Mars and her musical partner, Bethy Lovelight, and it's the June 12th show. Everybody stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great show, June 12th. In the meantime, keep lots of love and light through sound in your lives. Blessings now. Bye-bye.